I do thank you for your kind attention. I thank you for your presence here today. I thank you for your prayers. I stand in need of your prayers. We all stand in need of prayers. And I don't know, that's one of the big things that God has given to us in our existence here in this life is, number one, he's given us his word, and we can read it. We have the opportunity. We can read the truth of God's word, but we also have God in us. God is our intercessor and the Father that's waiting at the other end to hear our prayers. And so, will God by all means use them. This morning, I want to speak on a passage of Scripture, which I'm not sure it may not be the most quoted or the most read piece of Scripture in all of God's Word. I've heard a lot of sermons. Elder Mike Newman preached one years ago, and it was what a beautiful sermon it was. I've heard so many others, and they'll take the same passage and go in so many ways on it. And I have preached on this passage myself, and Lord willing, we'll see how the Lord looks at it. I'm thinking this is going to be like a little, maybe two sets, because it's six verses, but there's a lot in those verses. We refer to it as what the Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, that Psalm of David. And we hear it oftentimes, or many times, we'll hear it in a funeral. We'll hear people preach on it in different ways. But we're going to look at that this morning. This is perhaps, probably the most noted of all the Psalms, and I would think perhaps the Old Testament and maybe the New Testament as well. It teaches us some things, and that's what we're going to look at this morning, some things that we can look at in the next 2 weeks, and some things we can look at it and see this psalm and see where there's some understanding that we can have that comes from this psalm. We read it, it reads as follows, and it says, The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is that shepherd psalm. The good shepherd, some call it. My shepherd, that's what we look at. I had a title for this sermon the next couple of weeks. It'll be My Shepherd. My shepherd, because that brings it to a personal level, and that's what I would like to look at here. But when you think about a shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. When I think about a shepherd, if we look at it, that doesn't seem to be one of those positions in mankind that one would deem as a great position to be in. You know, not the richest person as far as finances. That's not the most powerful person in the way of politics or national military might. He talks about a shepherd. A shepherd is, by definition, it's a herder of sheep. One who takes a sheep, which is a cute little animal, one you can spot them through all that wool that they wear. But, you know, a sheep is they have a struggle in life. Their mind is things to be from the time they wake up to the time that they go to sleep as to where am I going to be nibbling at. And my understanding, you know, when I think about a sheep kind of low to the ground, so they don't have a vision to look out very far. And of course, what vision they might have, my understanding, they spend most of the time with their head down, going from one tuft of grass to the next tuft of grass. And they don't really follow and look out and see, well, it's green over there, I want to head that way. No, they say, there's a green tuft over there, I'm going there next. And they may or may not go in the right direction. And I also understand that when a sheep, when they fall or when they tumble, it doesn't take much to get them in a place where they can't rot themselves. They can't get themselves up on their feet again. And if there's not somebody there to watch over them, and I'm talking 24/7, there's got to be somebody there to watch after them and watch over them. And it's called a shepherd. And so we think about this idea of a shepherd. That's an important, at least in the life of that sheep. And I guess if you was to carry on a conversation with a sheep, whatever that may sound like, I really suspect that they could care less if anybody's out there watching over them. As long as they can get to that next tuft of grass, that's their world. And I want you to think about that, because that's God uses this shepherd, this idea of a shepherd, this idea of the sheep, to paint a picture that we can all sit there and say, well, yeah, those sheep, they need a lot of help. But God references that those sheep being us. That's who we are. In a spiritual sense, that's exactly who we are. And we need a shepherd. We need one, and God has supplied shepherds. We're going to look at that in a little bit. God has supplied a shepherd, and where have they got it? And what are we going to do? What will God do for us? So these sheep, they're fond of wonder. Talks about the fond of wonder. They're going to follow wherever the food trail leads. And the shepherd's there to do a lot of things. He's there to provide for them a place where they can feed in peace. He's there to provide them a place where they can rest when those times come. He's there to protect them from the evils of the world, which would be bent on the absolute destruction of those sheep. He guides them and he leads them. And he's necessary in their lives in order for them to lead a life that's a peaceable life. So when we think about a shepherd, his position in society may not be high, but his position as it relates to those sheep is of such great importance. It means everything. So, with all the problems and everything that comes with being a shepherd, David says that the Lord, that's where he starts off this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. And what I want to look at the next couple of weeks is that we want to look at that shepherd, we'll look at that today, that shepherd. What do we know about that shepherd? We're going to look at that, how that shepherd provides for us, how he cares for us. And I think that's what most of this psalm is about, is all the different ways that the shepherd provides for us. And then we want to look at the home, the abode of that shepherd, and our relationship to that home because of that shepherd. We're going to look at those things over the next couple of weeks. So we start with this idea of a sheep, and the Lord kind of tells us, he starts it off, the Lord is my shepherd. So immediately here when we start this, there's something being drawn, there's a connection between the Savior and the shepherd. And one of our great hymns that I love is, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And we think about that. We look to him and we think of ourselves as those sheep, and we ask the Savior to lead us like a shepherd. Because we see ourselves like sheep. The Old Testament sees it that way as well. In Psalm 78, chapter of Psalms, we see these words as God was reminding those people through the Psalms of where they had come from. They had come from that time of being in bondage in Egypt for all those years, and God has brought them out into the wilderness. And did not God lead them through that wilderness? And he led them in many different ways. So manna came from heaven. He guided them day and night, 24/7, by a pillar of smoke in the day and a fire at night. And God went into a desert and in rocks. God repeatedly would bring water out of rocks to provide for these people, wherever they may be, to keep them from danger. God didn't send them on the short way. When they left to Egypt, God didn't send them the short way over to Jerusalem, because God knew that they weren't ready to do that. They weren't ready to face the enemies at that time. And God brought them through 40 years of traveling through the wilderness. And at the end of that 40 years, God had them in exactly the right place that they needed to be. That's a shepherd taking care of. But in the 78th chapter, God speaks to those people, and he says, but that God, he made his own people to go forth like sheep. When they left Egypt, he said, he made his people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. My shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He guides us like a flock. The 80th Psalm, the first verse says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Speaking of somebody that's identified as a shepherd of Israel. Thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. He did shine forth in the days gone by when he was in that pillar of fire. But listen, folks, Jesus Christ is the light of our life. And he shines forth in his people's lives. He is our light. He has given us everything that we need. He is our shepherd. And of course, when you read the 40th chapter of Isaiah, that is a messianic chapter that points to Jesus coming in that first time when he would come to the earth in the years to come. And how is he described in the 40th chapter? We get down to the 11th verse there, and it says, He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with him. Those are tender words, are they not? Those are comforting words. That no, not only is he the shepherd, but he's the shepherd of Israel, and he guides us and he leads us. And he says he will carry them in his bosom. That means he takes them up and he holds them tight. And there's something about that. But I don't know, when you've been hurt, when you've done something wrong, one of the greatest feelings I ever had was when mom or dad would just hold on to you and let us know that he was there and we were part and he was going to take care of us, she was going to take care of us. So where are we at now? This is the shepherd. God described himself as a shepherd in that. In the Old Testament, Isaiah, he began to look out the one that he would send to be a shepherd. But between that time and this place, this is kind of what got me thinking about this, is the book of Ezekiel. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not a great Bible scholar. And there's a lot about Ezekiel that I do not understand. But there's some places that God has given me a little bit. At least he's given me an understanding. I pray it's the truth because I know it's God's word. I just pray he's given me what he's trying to show me. And when you get to the 14th chapter of Ezekiel, and you don't have to go there, but there was a place there where he had a messenger. Ezekiel, he was going to send with a message that he wanted to be presented to his people. And so that great shepherd of Israel, in a sense, in a national sense, was sending a messenger to them. And he calls him, he refers to him in the 14th chapter as a watchman. And what does he tell about that watchman? The part that I remember that I don't forget from as a pastor, as a preacher, God sent him with a message to the people. And basically God says, you tell them the truth of what I said to you. You tell them everything I said to you. You tell them the truth of what I'm saying to them. When you tell them, if they make the choice to obey, then you've done right. If they should go away from it, if you told them that they're not going to be doing this and they do it anyway, you're all right. The judgment will be upon them. However, watchmen, if you don't tell them the truth, if you don't tell them what's right, and they go astray, he's going to hold you responsible. Watchmen, those are sobering words. Not just to be able to take God's word and just preach it to them, to just read it to somebody, but to give them a sense of understanding of what it's saying, tell the truth. And I say that, and we need to tell the truth of God's word because we know there's people out there who will take any given scripture and make it say something totally different. That tells me somebody's wrong. So we look for the truth and we look to proclaim the truth. But by the time you get to the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, he doesn't describe them as a watchman now. He describes them as shepherds. That God would have shepherds God has put there to lead those people for all those hundreds of years. God has put them there with a task of carrying that message. I see it much like a watchman. I can't make that connection, but I think the connection I have for whether it's a watchman or whether it's a shepherd, they have a vital interest in the sheep. They both are dealing with the sheep, and they both are dealing with God. So when we look at this, Ezekiel, what worries me about it is in the 34th chapter, I get the distinct understanding that God's not pleased with those shepherds. We read it says, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as the shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that is among his sheep that are scattered. So I will seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of the dark, out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. God looks at these shepherds and he's not happy. He says in that second verse of that same chapter, 34 chapter, woe be to the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? I think he's talking to that watchman. I think he's talking to that shepherd. And a very real sense of thing that we have closest to that today as we live, I think, is a pastor. And he's looking at them and he says, what are you doing with your time? I put you in a position of a watchman or a shepherd. And why aren't you taking care of the flock? And so when I look out, I see our numbers getting smaller. There's all kinds of verses that can explain different things about it. But one of the places that drives me to as a under shepherd, am I making time for everything except for God's people? I have to ask myself that. Am I telling them the truth of God's word? God says in the 14th verse, he just put that woe on the shepherds because they're not doing what he would have them to do. And in the 14th verse, he says, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a pasture, that pasture, shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Listen, folks, that tells me that there was one coming, even in Ezekiel. He's pointing to that there was a shepherd that was going to be coming. Wasn't just any shepherd. Wasn't like one of those misguided shepherds or distracted shepherds. This was a shepherd that would come dedicated to his sheep, dedicated to their welfare, dedicated for bringing them to where he'd have them to be. Speaks of Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. So we see that in the Old Testament. We see the places where it refers to a shepherd, to the sheep, but we see that in the New Testament as well. John 10th chapter, we call it the sheep chapter. It's referred to that as many times. That's where Jesus would announce in that 14th verse that I am the good shepherd. I am that one that was spoken of in those Psalms. I am that one that God said in that 34th chapter of Ezekiel would come, and I'm here to lead my people and to care for my people and to bring them to good pastures. It's that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known of mine. What did he say there? God knows everything. God knows his people. And what's a great thing about this is that for God's people, they know he's their God. We read in John, the fifth chapter of John, 25th verse, we read these words. Jesus speaking, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Hear him call him. And it says, they that hear shall live. He's not talking about natural ears, because Jesus spoke to a lot of people that could hear him in a natural sense quite well. Jesus is talking to that spiritual man, that Jesus, his people, his spiritual kingdom. And when he speaks to us, we hear and we respond and we know. We know no matter what science may say, no matter what the unregenerate may think, Lord, we know that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God sent to save us from our sins in a covenant of grace that was entered into before time began. God knew what had to be done. That not only was God going to send a shepherd, but in that shepherd, in his control, in his position of authority, God was also going to give that shepherd, was going to understand what it was to be a sheep. That vision that John, the Apostle John, gives us in Revelation, it says it's a vision. But by the fifth chapter of that, when they couldn't get this book open, the scroll, nobody could unloose the straps on it until one came forward. And John described him as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now, when I sit there sometimes and think about what did John really see, I know what he says. He's speaking in a vision. He's speaking in visions and things. But I have no doubt that those that were sitting there listening to John when he said those words, I don't think they saw a little sheep with a saw on its head. I think what they saw and they understood, this is Jesus. This is Jesus slain, appeared as a slain, and he's that sheep. Jesus knew what it was like to live the life of a sheep. And Jesus had the power to live the life of the great shepherd. Hebrews, the 13th chapter of Hebrews, speaks about that shepherd, the shepherd. It says, now the God of peace that brought him to you, brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Well, the thought with that tells me this is a shepherd that's going to be around for a while. Glory forever and ever. That's a long time. And it was through his blood, through that covenant of blood. And what I say about that is the covenant of grace. We've heard it before, but it's, the Bible speaks of it over and over again. We see where there was a covenant made, an agreement, a promise that was made by a triune God, that I would create a people, and within that people, I would take a people out of it to heaven's eternity, to a place that we'll look at later, to a home, to an abode. But in the meantime, as they live here on this earth, with all of its trouble and with all of its frailties, they're going to have a shepherd here too. And he's going to guide us. And he's going to lead us. And he's going to show us what he would have us to be. We looked at that with the Beatitudes. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus begins his ministry, the first thing he lays out is what we need to be. Beatitudes. How we need to live. What should be our character. And Jesus will teach us and grow us to be to better at living what he would have us to be each and every day. So he gave us the Lord. And when John, the apostle, who had wrote that revelation, but my understanding, one of the very first times that he sees Jesus, where do it tell us? God's down in the River Jordan baptized. It says he looked up, so I don't know if there was a river bank or something that caused him to have to lift up his eyes, but that was his cousin. I've always wondered, for 30 years roughly, John and Jesus were still cousins. Mary and Elizabeth were 6 months apart. And Mary and Elizabeth seemed to keep acquaintance with one another. And so when I wonder, when John looked up and saw that Jesus approach on that from above, he didn't look and say, well, this is my cousin. He says, this is the Lamb of God, which cometh to take away the sins of the world. But who was he speaking of? He was speaking of his cousin. Yes, he was. But I don't think John was on that level. I think John was in a spiritual understanding. If this is the Savior, like a shepherd, that's going to lead us. This is the Lamb of God that's come to take away our sins. And how was he going to do that? He was going to live the life of a sheep. And he was going to do it right. And Jesus understood that in a natural sense, a sheep, when they fall, it's very difficult, if not impossible, for them to right themselves. And they're not going to call out to somebody to do it for them. They're just going to, my understanding, the sheep's going to lay there until they die and not really understand it. And I'm afraid that's the way we are. In our dead and trespasses and sin, we're just happy to be wherever we are, just waiting to die. But we got a shepherd that's better than that. We have a shepherd that's not going to try to sit there and explain to us what you need to do. We got a shepherd that's going to come and do. He's going to come and do what needs to be done. He's going to ride us. He's going to lift us up and set us on our feet and point to the direction that we need to go. That's the shepherd. That's our shepherd. It says over in 1 Peter, in the 2nd chapter, about Jesus bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead in sin should live unto righteousness by whose stripes you're healed, by the work of Jesus Christ, that we have a hope and that we live each and every day of our lives. It says, for you were a sheep. Here we are. The analogy's made again. You were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Listen, folks, that's our shepherd. That's my shepherd. That's the shepherd that David wrote this psalm about. And we know that shepherd struggles. We know that a sheep doesn't think much about anything except for where he's going to get his next meal, where he's going to take a break. Folks, Jesus looked down and he He did everything that was necessary to provide for them their immediate needs and to provide for them needs for days to come. But our shepherd, it's not days to come, it's forever and ever. What the Bible has told us, we've looked at that. So the Lord is my shepherd. He is the shepherd. He's certainly above a shepherd. He's a good shepherd. We saw that. He's a great shepherd. And those are good things to think about when we think about his connections to us. That he's all those things. He's the and good and great. But David says it best. The Lord is my shepherd. That brings it real personal. Gets it real close. He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Another psalm that's written, a 67th psalm, uses that same word to describe that same shepherd, but in a lot of different aspects. In Psalm, the 62nd chapter, in the 6th verse, it says, He, who is He? He is that one, God, that shepherd. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. Those that bring it close to us. It'd be nice to know, yes, God has a salvation out there. But it should be even nicer to know that God is my salvation. He has done what it takes to drag this old sorry sheep to a place where I need to be. And whether I care that I'm there or not, I can take comfort in knowing that He's watching over me. In my ugliness, in whatever goodness I have, and whatever goodness I have, the strength that comes from it comes from my God and His strength. The Bible tells us that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. It speaks of that shepherd. It said there He's my shepherd. We think of that inward part. And when Jesus left this world and when He ascended back into heaven those 2,000 years ago, He spoke about sending that one that we would call the Comforter. Folks, He's your comforter, He's my comforter. And He lives within us. He is the very God as Jesus is God. He is God. And He teaches us, even now. And He guides us. And He watches over us. Because that's where He's supposed to be in that covenant. That covenant that was made. That was His role, is to look over the sheep of God. Until our shepherd comes to take us home to an eternal place. So He's my shepherd. Well, how do I know? How do I know if He's my shepherd? He's not going to send us a diploma, but I think He's going to touch our hearts. He's going to cause us to understand. In that 10th chapter, we looked at it earlier, where He said, I am the shepherd, the good shepherd. Jesus goes on there to say, it says, then came the Jews round about Him, and said unto Him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you. Start with Jesus says, Well, I spoke to you. My words went to you. And you didn't believe? My words had no effect on you, apparently. He says, I told you, and you believe not. Then He says, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So if you didn't hear my words and you didn't respond to my words, you had an opportunity to see the thing that I was doing. And yet, it says they bear witness of me, but ye believe not. Why didn't they believe? Jesus tells us, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. See what He said there? You're not my sheep. God has a people. He refers to them in the Bible as His sheep. What's the difference? The difference is when you hear the voice, we live. It says, because they're not my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hears my voice. They don't just hear words. They hear the voice of Jesus Christ speaking into their hearts through that Holy Spirit of God. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So I look out here to see them, and I say, why are you here? I think it's because you've heard the voice of God. I don't think I've ever heard the audible voice. I know I one time when I was a lot littler, I don't do well in thunderstorms. And one came up and I was sure God was trying to tell me something, and I was probably in a real bunch of trouble. But then I've come to think that's not where God doesn't speak to us. The Bible tells us He doesn't speak to us out of earthquakes and fire and lightnings and thunders. I would describe it as a still small voice. He speaks to us, and He leads us, and He guides us, and we hear Him, and we respond. I'm going to close it with this thought. We hear His voice. Whose voice do we hear? Do we hear a lamb that somehow scarred? And somehow a lamb's talking to us? Like, you know, I know the Bible tells us it was a donkey talking. And I think in that case it was a real natural donkey talking. But I think in this case He's pointing a greater picture of a greater truth. And when He speaks of that shepherd of the sheep, He's speaking about our Savior Jesus Christ and His work for us. And that He died for us. And in dying, surely He was scarred. And we know the Bible tells us before He ascended, He told those disciples to come and what? Touch the holes in His hands and in His feet and stick their hand into that pierced side. They weren't doing that to a sheep. They were doing it to a person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our shepherd, and He bears the scars of it. So when John says in, later on in Revelation, the slain from the foundation of the world, that's what He's reminding us of. It's a way that our people, that we ought to know. And He's our shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's personal, each and every one of us. And He means something. And we depend upon Him. We are so blessed. Because too many times I look out and we see that we try to get the people back in. And you know, if you get a church full of people, it won't be long before they start going out again. Why? Because they're wandering. We're like sheep. And so it's a constant for us to be a part of who God would have us to be, and to be here to see it this morning with you around. I count that a great blessing. We're not the biggest flock that's ever been, but listen, folks, God never judged us on by how big a flock we were. What's He say? Fear not, little flock. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That speaks to our flock, whether or not it's a little flock or a big flock. God's in control. He's still the shepherd. And He does things right. So I would ask that you would pray for me and for God's people, God's shepherds, and wherever they may be. And I may stand in the pulpit as a pastor, and I think God has given me a responsibility that I'm supposed to preach the word in truth and completeness. But folks, you have a lot as a ministry as well. And there's opportunities when you need to carry forth. There's a great shepherd, and He's still in control, and you have that responsibility. In a sense, you're much like that watchman. So make sure that when the opportunity arises, and you have the opportunity to speak to somebody who God may have put in your presence, number one, speak the truth. Speak the truth of what God's Word says. And focus on those people. Focus on what God's Word said and make sure you get the message off on them. And it ought not be a thing about, well, yes, God's given me a message. Now, how slick can I be? How cool can I be? How can I entertain you? Folks, the pastor's work is not about entertainment or about looking cool or staying up with all of the things that's going on in the world. A pastor's number one responsibility is to go into the Word of God, find the truth, know the truth, and teach it to the others so that they can carry it on in generations to come. Folks, how are we going to do that? If you leave it up to me, it won't be long before I've gone off on the wrong path. But I promise you by the Word of God, in Ezekiel, when He talks about that, I will send that good shepherd. And Jesus would use almost those same words, that I am the good shepherd. We know that promise was kept. And that's who we serve. That's our shepherd. That's the one that watches over us. He's a great shepherd. But more importantly, He's my shepherd and He's your shepherd. God bless you. May the Lord bless you.